back to the Midday Grind with Martin and Marlo on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Guys are clapping along. I thought it was like a Herbalife convention in here. Everybody's all excited, fired up. The Midday Grind, 590 The Fan, Martin Kilcoyne, Charlie Marlowe, Chris Gardner, Brendan Schaefer, Lil Gallup, who has not been polling much of late. I think we got in his grill a little bit. Hasn't been periscoping because we could see the grill over his head, that heating duct. And since then, have you scaled back, B. Schaefer, on your polling? Have you scaled back on your periscope?
It's got nothing to do with the heating duct. It's got nothing to do with an intentional scale back. I've just been working on a few other aspects of my projects that I've got going on. And so the polling will return, and the periscopes will definitely return, and you'll be beat over the head with them.
Do you know what that excuse was? That's the equivalent to when Stephen Piscotty or a hitter is not doing well in the spring, and they say, no, I'm working on things. That's kind of what Schaefer just said. I'm working on stuff.
I think he said other projects.
Yeah, other
right?
projects. I got a projects. Website, just some other things that I'm working on. It'll all return. It'll all be okay.
You know, and we came full circle on you doing the periscope, and over your head was the heating cooling duct or vent.
Right.
We decided that could become your trademark because you had such hot takes that the heating vent was over your head. But instead, I think he's looking for a new location.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get a background that doesn't draw the ire of Martin Kilcoyne on Twitter. That's my first goal.
I don't like making excuses.
Before we get to Rick Ankiel, the Rams in the headlines here in St. Louis, Jim Thomas with this story, St. Louis suing the NFL over the Rams relocation. The city, the county, hey, they finally got together on something. It's a lawsuit. The city, the county, and the Regional Convention and Sports Complex Authority are suing the National Football League over the relocation of the Rams 15 months ago. Again, this is Jim Thomas in the Post-Dispatch. 52-page suit filed Wednesday in St. Louis Circuit Court lists the National Football League and all 32 clubs as defendants and seeks damages and restitution of profits. Now, if you read through the whole thing, it's basically saying the league violated their own relocation guidelines, and I think the case they're trying to make, I don't know if they'll be able to win or not, but the case they're trying to make is that they were led down a false path and they spent all that money chasing a team that was never going to stay. And one of the examples they use is Kevin Demoff's interview with the Los Angeles Times, where he said in the summer of 2013, I'll never forget when Stan picked out the land in Inglewood and we knew we had our new home, which for months I've been saying, if he doesn't do that interview with the LA Times, the Demoff despise in this town is way down here. If he hadn't said that, instead he's right up there with Stan Kroenke, if not exceeding him in the minds of many fans.
In my opinion, all the blame was on Stan Kroenke until that came out, which you just talked about. And also, I don't know if as many people saw this, but when Kevin Demoff was back at his high school talking about the Rams season and the relocation process, when he said, well, thankfully or not thankfully, we went on a 4-game losing
streak.
That really bothered me. I'm not from St. Louis. I'm not a huge Rams fan. But that bothered me when you have a guy who was basically joking and saying he was happy the team was losing. So instead of focusing on winning for St. Louis that year, they could focus on relocation. That bothered me, and I'm sure that bothered a lot of people.
And so the city, the county, and the regional sports authority, that's the group that spent the $16, $17 million on the stadium design for the riverfront, all of the planning that went into that. Maybe this is just an attempt to recoup their spending, also money lost with the team losing town. Jim Thomas with that story. You can find it at stltoday.com. Tonight, you can find Rick Ankiel on your TV. It's Fox Sports Midwest. We're doing the pre and the post game with Scott Warman, and he joins us now, former Cardinal, with us on 590 The Fan. Rick, how are you?
Hello?
Rick, welcome to 590. How are you?
Lost you guys for a second. I'm good. How you doing?
Oh, good. We were just rambling on about a football team that used to be here. But we're moving back to the baseball team that is here. I must say, watching you on TV, you seem very relaxed. Like some guys, even though they played in the big leagues, when the lights go on, the cameras are there, they get a little nervous. I just sense from you, you're like, hey, what's the big deal? It's just a TV program. It's not the end of the world.
I'm glad it looks like that. I wish it was that easy. Last year, I was definitely more nervous. I feel like the more you do it, probably like anything else, you get a little bit more comfortable with the process and knowing where to look and when it's your turn to talk.
I think the hardest thing for anybody that makes the transition is when they talk in your ear. Now, it's more so when you're doing a game, but you know what I'm telling you. Like they're going to say in your ear, okay, go to that video, or we've got that tape here. Just getting used to having a voice in your head is a little weird.
Yeah, I agree 100%, especially when you're in the middle of a thought and trying to explain something, and they're like 10 seconds, and they start counting down, and then you got to wrap it up real quick.
So, Rick, last night, brutal game, let's be honest. In the post-game, when you guys are talking about it, and Martin and I discussed this earlier, we were both laughing out loud when you told the story about Tony La Russa after they showed the old clip of it's the first week of the season, and then you were talking about the time where Tony didn't let you guys eat. So we were having fun with that. We need more La Russa stories. What else do you got on La Russa from your days of playing for him?
That's one of the best ones. Other than that, Tony was all about business, as you guys know. I mean, he didn't really let you in much. You couldn't really see what was going on. I mean, you know, that's just how he carried himself. I mean, he kept everything he was thinking to himself. I mean, the one thing, you know, for me about Tony, I feel like he's the most prepared manager that I ever played for. And it always just seemed like he was one step ahead of everybody else. When I played for Davey Johnson, actually, when I was with the Nationals, he told me, hey, you know, one time I tried a trick play on Tony. He's like, after that, he had about five things waiting for me. That's the last time I ever tried anything on him.
So did he lock the food room or just kind of stand at the door and not let you guys in? How did it go down?
Well, we were playing like horse crap. I mean, there was just a few games there and there in a row that were just awful, mental mistakes, and just, I mean, it just looked bad. So we probably deserved it. But no, he had the club, he chained the door and locked it. So I thought it was a big joke. I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. And he was hot. He was like, listen, good luck trying to get something to eat in Detroit on a Friday night. And when we were playing there, then we stayed out at the Ritz. It was far away. It was like 40 minutes away. So, but even with that, I was like, yeah, all right, well, whatever, no big deal. And I don't know if he had a contact at the hotel or what, but by the time I got back to the room and ordered my food, I swear I didn't get it till 2 a.m.
were guys in the clubhouse like mad, or were they kind of laughing? Like, this guy's nuts? What was the reaction by the team?
No, you're not. We weren't laughing because Tony was mad, and you're definitely not going to laugh. And we just got our butts kicked, so it wasn't funny. I thought it was funny. I wasn't going to laugh out loud, but I was saying, yeah, whatever. I'll go back to the hotel and order food. I don't care. But it didn't work out as flawlessly as I thought it would. I think everybody probably felt the same way I did, was just kind of like, yeah, whatever. And then, you know, after we didn't get food till however late, it was like, all right, well, I'm not going to go through that again. And I learned a lesson. After that, I started hiding, like, protein bars in my bag and stuff in my room. I had stuff at all times after that.
Rick Ankiel, former Cardinal, with us here on 590 The Fan. All right, what do you make of a team that's 2-6? It is just the second week of the season. It's not the end of the world, but I think the disappointment is that collectively they look bad. It's not necessarily one area. As a player, I'm sure they're not down, but how do you get out of some early season funk like this?
You got to keep that mindset exactly where you just said it. It's the beginning of the season, and it doesn't matter. And you're right. I mean, it's just the way that we're losing. If we were losing close ball games and, you know, we looked like we were right there about to win, I don't think it would be as big of a conversation. But, you know, it's the way we're losing. But at the end of the day, you either win or you lose, right? It doesn't matter how you do it. You win or you lose, and that's the bottom line. I know those guys down there want to, you know, turn things around. You know, we're just – the bullpen's giving up runs. It's not like they want to be like that. And I know they tried to make a big push on trying to get the defense better. And, you know, we've made some errors, so – you know, I agree with you. It just doesn't look good, but I agree too with that. You know, watching that Tony clip, we're in the beginning of the year, so let everybody get settled in and comfortable and see what happens.
Do you think it becomes though a little mental, especially defensively, where they've had some miscues, and we spent all of spring training saying they're going to field better, they're going to work on fielding more, they're going to take a different approach to fielding? Does it get into a player's head a little bit with every kicked ball that, oh God, here we are again, we're going to have to answer about it? You think that is a factor with the defense?
I think it would be Yeah, absolutely. It has to be. I mean, come on, that was the focus going into the offseason. And, you know, it's almost like when a pitcher's throwing a no-hitter into the seventh and eighth inning, all of a sudden the routine plays become really intense, you know, because you're just trying that much harder. And I think it's the same type of thing. You know, it's being talked about, and we've made a few miscues that have cost us some big runs. And, of course, so now every time a ball's hit to you, it's almost impossible not to think about it. I mean, I'm sure some guys are better than others. But, I mean, let's be honest. There's no way not to at least think about it a little bit.
So, Rick, you have the book coming out, The Phenomenon. Are you at the point in your career and your life where you like talking about your story and telling your story, and maybe it helps other people, the adversity that you overcame? Or is it something that's still you don't necessarily like talking about? But then again, you have the book coming out, so you have to do kind of the media leading up to it.
I would say there's a little bit of both. You know, talking about some of the family stuff is tougher than talking about the throwing issues. The throwing issues is really therapeutic for me, because I know where I was and where I am now. And I know that, you know, there's other people out there that are going through similar stuff and even personal stuff. And it's been rewarding, you know, and even though the book isn't even out yet, but just from the amount of interviews that I've done, you know, I've had people come up to me and say, man, thank you, I went through something similar or whatever. And just, you know, I'm so grateful to hear it, and it helps me. And that's been really, really rewarding for me.
And, Rick, you've got an event next Tuesday, too, I think, at the Cardinals Hall of Fame Museum over there at Ballpark Village. Chance for folks to sort of not only get the book, but also do a little personal meet and greet.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be here all week next week. And, you know, we do have that at the museum, and then there's a few other places later on in the week, too. So it'll be a fun week, and it's a really neat thing to be able to come here and launch the book from St. Louis, you know, being all the support that I had from here, and I spent most of my career here as well.
I'm sure people said to you for a long time, hey, you should write a book, man. Your story is unbelievable. You got to write a book. At what point, I mean, I'm sure for a while you said no way in hell. At what point did you say, hey, you know what, maybe it makes sense?
You're right. When I was still playing, I just, you know, I wasn't ready. And I got approached to do that. I got approached to do a movie. And I just felt like at the time that it would be a distraction when I was still playing. And then once I got done and started to think about it, you know, realizing that when I went through the throwing issues and all that, I couldn't find literature on it, and not really, people didn't want to talk about it. I don't have a problem talking about it. I mean, I've made it to the other side of it, and, you know, I had successful run as an outfielder, etc. So to be able to give back is good. And you know, one thing too is as an athlete, you know, you're taught to never show your emotions and not let people in, and everybody talks about that game face and all that. So to open up and talk about what was really going on inside of me, I just wouldn't even have been able to do it while I was still playing. It just wouldn't have worked.
So, Rick, I think we had you on the radio last year. We were talking about a potential movie and asking, you know, who'd you like to play, you know, yourself in the movie. I can't remember your answer, but Tony La Russa. Don't you feel like Tony Danza could play Tony La Russa really well in that movie? They kind of look alike.
Yeah, possibly. That's one guy. I think Tony could play Tony if he really felt like it.
I think Tony would be up for it. Tony fancies himself as we taped some bits on the TV side before, and I would say, hey, we're doing kind of this funny thing, or our boss is leaving, could you just, and I would hand him like a mini script. He said, I don't need no script. And then he would do these things into the camera, and he would turn to me, and I'd say, you want to do it again? He's like, one take, Tony. And he walked away. So I think he fancies himself that he could be, in fact, an actor.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he could. I mean, he's an intelligent person. I think he can definitely pull it off.
And he still looks young, right? I mean, he could play the 58-year-old La Russa, even though he's like 71. And I know when he gets his hair cut, he tells the people cutting his hair, I don't want it to look like I got a haircut. He's got that Dennis Eckersley flow. I think we're on to something here.
I think him and Eck go to the same barber.
Hey, Rick, also want to ask you about Bryce Harper and the Nats. You know Bryce well from your time there with the Nats. There's a guy who's about to get paid, but he looks like, and that's down the road, but he looks like he's on a mission right now the way he's playing.
I agree, and I think what you're seeing is him really coming to the understanding of I'm gonna take what the pitchers are giving me and not trying to create home runs on pitches that he can't hit home runs. I mean, if you take a look at the last two games just against us, bunted for a base hit. You know, we walked him a bunch. When we finally pitched to him, he's not afraid to take the ball the other way. I just feel like you're really seeing him mature as a player.
Don't you think it's an interesting situation with Bryce Harper? There's a lot of talk about that 2018 free agent class. Bryce Harper Manny Machado. Maybe one of those guys gets a $400 million contract. We know Giancarlo Stanton got, I think, $335. But the Nats are in a tough situation. If he doesn't sign a deal before he's a free agent and you think you might lose him, you might actually have to trade the best young player in all of baseball. I mean, I think that's a realistic situation they're in.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, depending on how everything folds up, they have a lot of guys that, you know, it seems like they're going to have to try to sign back. And, you know, obviously we don't know what that's going to look like at the time. But, you know, I'm sure for any general manager, you start looking, is this one player worth this much money, or can we get five other players that we think are going to be that? And just like when they retooled a few years ago, right? They got Strasburg, they got Harper out of the, I mean, it was out of the draft, but that's no different than trading them and getting back a bunch of players. So I agree with you. I think it's going to be interesting how it all plays out.
Rick, thanks for the time. We'll see you tonight on the TV, Fox Sports Midwest. What's your schedule? Do you know how many dates you've got where you'll be in town?
I'm here for the Fox Midwest. You mean, I think there's 15, I'm guessing.
So just enough to keep your hand in a little bit, right? You get a lot of people stop you around town?
Yeah, absolutely. The support in St. Louis is second to none. I mean, it's just, you know, that's why it's the best baseball city in the world. Everybody, you know, adores the Cardinals and even the former players. So it's a wonderful experience. I'd love to do more this year, you know, with the book. I got about a month here where I can't do more games, so just timing-wise, that didn't work out. But I'd love to stay involved and do a lot more.
Are you doing any fun on the tour? Are you doing Ellen or Oprah? And you shouldn't have a show anymore. Any of those kind of gigs?
I've heard some rumors. I haven't seen anything solidified in my schedule yet, but I just try to take it day by day. Tell me where I need to be and what time I need to be there, and I'll show up and, you know, do what I need to do.
All right, Rick, thanks for the time.
All right, thanks, guys. Later.
Rick Ankiel, and again, that event is Tuesday, next Tuesday. Cards are taking on the Pirates. They've got a Rick Ankiel book signing. He's in town, obviously, doing the games. The book, The Phenomenon, Pressure, The Yips, and The Pitch That Changed My Life. He's on Twitter at the Rick Ankiel. And, boy, there's a guy who's having a lot of fun. I got the sense, and he made it sound like there's still some nerves being on TV, but I get the sense watching him that he's like, you know, what's the big deal? I've been to hell and back. Well, who cares if I'm doing a little bit of TV? That's how it comes out. He doesn't seem real uptight, which is what I want to see from a guy on TV, just relaxed.
Yes, and I think he does a great job on TV. And again, it's about telling those stories, especially when you're working for the rights holder broadcast and you do just have an awful game. People want to hear from Lance Lynn. People want to hear from Mike Matheny, but you do want a little levity as well, and I think some of those old stories from the clubhouse can certainly help that.
One of our sponsors this hour is Window World. Window World, been around St. Louis since 2003. Simply the best for less. It's the home of the original $189 window. So if you're in the market for new windows, it's 993-1800. When Jim and John started this business, they wanted to employ some St. Louis people. Now they have 75 local employees. They wanted to have a product that they believed in. They have that. Low cost, high quality. And they also wanted to get involved in the community. And Window World has been doing that for years. Of course, their big trivia night is one of their big fundraisers for area charities. WindowWorld.com, the website. Window World, one of two windows that has the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. If you don't need windows, call them about siding or patio doors. Right now, 15 months, same as cash financing with approved credit. WindowWorld.com, and set up that appointment at 993-1800.